Tony from the land of baloney to step down, and Governor DeSantis wishes him all the best. Freedom fighter Djokovic barred from playing in the U.S. Open, and little Manny Macron says it's time to sacrifice to save the planet. Pope Francis and Lady Lynn Rothschild team up to change the world, and Mr. Green Tea himself sets up a blacklist of American enemies of the Ukrainian state, including Senator Rand Paul and Jeffrey Sachs? All that and more tonight from the Remnant Underground. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Madden. This is the Remnant Underground. I'd like to start off tonight's program with something I think we've all been waiting to hear for a really long time.
And I'm just sick of seeing him. I know he says he's going to retire. Someone needs to grab that little elf and chuck him across the Potomac.
Oh, man. Isn't it grand, huh? The little elf. Field Marshal Schwab's Jeep driver now is finally going down, and I know it's not over, so I'm not suggesting it is, but let's just bask in the moment. People are completely done with Tony from the land of baloney. Now, I realize not everybody over at Agenda 2030 is giving up. For some of them, for most of them, the stupid knows no bounds, as is evidenced once again by what's happening with the U.S. Open.
Just one thing first, though. Tennis superstar Novak Djokovic is officially out of the US Open because he refuses to needlessly take a COVID vaccine.
Are you prepared to forego the chance to be the greatest player that ever picked up a racket, statistically, because you feel so strongly about this jab?
Yes.
I mean, the really, really sick thing about this is that nobody, but nobody, is worried about COVID-19 anymore. It's belly up, floating along now. It's not an issue for anybody. I've been flying all over the place. I told you I was in New York last week. We were over in France not long ago. Nobody's wearing masks on planes. You don't have to be vaccinated. It is over. And they're not letting this guy come into the U.S. to play tennis. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because this has nothing to do with COVID. If it ever did have anything to do with COVID, this is all about power. This is all about control. This is all about this lunatic.
Nobody will be safe if not everybody is vaccinated.
I just never can get enough of that particular clip of the field marshal. Well, with the handout, that everyone must be vaccinated or nobody is safe. You know, creepy guy. And the thing is, it just didn't work out that way, did it, Klausy? You're a pretty scary villain, but guess what? Guys like Novak Djokovic, they're the heroes. While talking heads on TV are positively screaming for the head of you and for the head of guys like Dr. Fauci.
He sounds like he's been invited to afternoon tea at one of our houses. I will consider it. I'll consider it. You know, only if it's oversight, because what I experienced was personal attacks. I will go if it's true or... Fuck you, Dr. Fauci. You don't get to say whether you go. You get a congressional subpoena, you show up, or you get the Steve Bannon treatment.
I mean, I know a lot of people are saying everything's right on track, and as I've said down here for a while, do not sell yourselves short. There has been a massive worldwide pushback, and I don't believe things like Bill and Melinda Gates falling apart was part of the plan just to fool us. I think that is the fact, that's proof that hell is chaotic. These people are of hell, and there's chaos in their lives too. So the Gateses are divorced. George Soros is, I'm sorry, farting dust now. He's pretty much done. Field Marshal Schwab, as we've said so often, has officially become a meme, right? Francis, the Pope, the globalist chaplain of the New World Order, he is the most despised Pope in human history. If anybody can think of a Pope who's more despised than this guy, let me know who it would be, because I can't find any friends of Francis anymore. Nobody cares. Our illustrious president, Joe Biden, literally now hiding his own Easter eggs.
Thank you and happy, happy Easter. All right. Wait.
Joe Biden is now officially a political liability to his own party. And now, of course, the lunatics of Davos have begun to turn on one another. Mark Zuckerberg this week, he goes out on Joe Rogan and casually announces that... Yes, the FBI came to Facebook just before the 2020 election, by the way, and told them to be very vigilant against the Hunter Biden laptop story. I still can't figure out if the Zuck realized what he just gave away, but here's what he said.
There was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
The FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant.
It's really been a heck of a week, heck of a month, in fact, for the totally discredited Federal Bureau of Investigation and the insufferable Mark Zuckerberg threw them under the bus for the same reason that Tony Fauci is suddenly resigning. Because they're all going to need to sort of regroup and escape the what we might call the Boris Johnson treatment, you know, should there in fact be a red wave in November. These guys are scrambling for the tall grass. Now, let's not forget where Boris was just a couple of months ago.
Hi, folks. I'm here at the Schloss Elmau G7 Summit, and everybody came here today, came here over the last few days, worried about whether Ukraine fatigue was setting in and whether some of the problems that we've seen with the global spikes in inflation, the Democratic politicians facing all sorts of objections from their populations about the economic cost of the war, whether that was going to damage the unity of the G7. On the contrary, I think what you've seen is the G7 countries standing strong together, perhaps stronger than ever before, in sticking up for Ukraine.
Bye-bye, Boris. By the way, how's that Build Back Better plan working out for you, guy?
It's going well. It's very, very well organized. What they do... Get me a ladder.
See what I'm saying, friends? Don't be so sure. Don't be so confident that these incredibly stupid people can actually pull this off. And while they're all falling apart and turning on one another, you got Vladimir Putin, who's only gaining popularity and winning that war, while Mr. Green Tea has officially worn out his welcome with just about everybody.
So Ukraine's leaders are really not hiding it anymore. They have total contempt for us. They just want our money. They don't care about the United States even a little bit. This is not democracies uniting in solidarity. This is a scam.
And now, by the way, Mr. Green Tea has got himself his very own Gestapo. You've heard about this. It's called the Ukrainian Center for Countering Disinformation. It was established by Zelensky in 2021 to counter what he calls destructive disinformation. You will not have this information. We will get your papers and we will stop it, says Zelensky. And that's right. Zelensky has got himself also a blacklist of Americans who don't toe the line, the official neocon Biden Davos line. So, Senator Rand Paul, for example, he made the blacklist. Tulsi Gabbard, she made it. Colonel Douglas McGregor, they made it. They are now all, according to Zelensky, Mr. Green Tea, they are pro-Russian operatives that need to be silenced, you see. But guess who else made that list? This one's going to surprise you. You know who else made the list? This guy. Jeffrey Sachs, Mr. UN Sustainable Development Goals himself, Mr. Population Control Guru, pro-contraception, special advisor to Pope Francis, Sachs. Now, at first, that seems surprising until you think about it. Why would Sachs be on Mr. Green Tea's blacklist? Well, it's obvious. Because a Russian victory in Ukraine will do exactly what we said it would do right down here on this show 6 months ago. It would disrupt the Great Reset. It would derail Agenda 2030. So a guy like Sachs is obviously dead set against Barack Obama's neocon war in Ukraine. It started not a few months ago, but back in 2014, as we've described so often, as we've talked about so often. Put another link down below to those programs about what's really going on in Ukraine. And what's happening now, and Sachs is smart enough to realize it, is that the wounded bear has got nothing to lose. And at the moment, that wounded bear is tearing Agenda 2030 to pieces, because once again, if one country is strong, if one country is made great again, then the whole globalist experiment becomes useless, And it doesn't work. You have to be able to dominate every country, especially the powerful ones. Russia's got enough natural resources to go on forever by herself without the globalist community. And Putin knows it. And this is why now they're pivoting away from COVID and they're pivoting to the climate crisis. Climate crisis has always been, at the end of the day, what they're going for. That's the real thing. That's like a religion. Yeah, you can't see it. You don't know about the globe, the climate, you know, destroying planet Earth. But just trust us. Take it on faith. The Earth, God, the pantheistic God of these people, is going to die. And we will not let you kill the Earth. And so they're going to be able to do whatever they want with climate, the climate crisis. And so little Manny Macaroon says that it's time for all of us to make sacrifices because the years of abundance are over.
What we are living through is a time of great upheaval. Firstly, because we are witnessing, and not just since this summer, but over the past few years, the end of what we might have seen as abundance. And for those who enjoyed it, it is also the end of a carefree time. Our freedom, the liberty to which we have grown accustomed to in our lives, has a price, and sometimes when we have to defend it, we have to make certain sacrifices as we fight to defend it.
Oh boy, Manny Macaroon. I wonder why this guy is in charge of anything. Remember, this is the same clown that put French citizens under house arrest for the past couple of years. Remember, they could only leave their houses for 1 hour. I've got friends in France who were not allowed to leave their house but for 1 hour, and they needed a special permission to do that, an excuse for why they were out for 1 hour a day. It went on and on and on. So it's no wonder at all that Manny Macaroon is promising hard times for people in France. It's what he's good at. He's one of Klaus Schwab's best and brightest young globalist leaders.
In his address, French President Emmanuel Macron laid out his vision for a new France and a new Europe.
We have to redesign a 10-year strategy, because that's not an overnight strategy. A 10-year strategy to make Europe an actual economic, social, green, scientific and political power.
Meanwhile, German Chancellor Angela Merkel sounded the alarm over protectionist policies like those touted by U.S. President Donald Trump.
Now keep in mind what's going on here, friends. He's basically declared war on his own country, just like Biden's doing right now with the border, with immigration, with the pipeline, with the forced fake artificial supply chain shortages that are going on. They're literally declaring war on their own countries. Now, this may sound like a conspiracy theory to those of you who have not been reading anything or following anything coming out of Davos, but they're very proud of this. This is all part of the wealthy countries they keep talking about, from countries such as France, such as Canada, such as the US, such as Australia. All of these have to be flattened, knocked down. That was the problem with the Make America Great Again movement. They don't want countries to be great. They're not going to tolerate that anymore. So all the countries that are affluent, they're doing well, must be knocked down in the name of equity and inclusion, of course. Francis is always talking equity and inclusion. Klaus Schwab is always talking equity and inclusion. So they're all talking about. So you won't be able to have great, wealthy, successful, prosperous countries in the New World Order that they envision. And then, of course, the chaos that's going to ensue in the meantime while they flatten all these countries, which is what we're seeing right now, the chaos in our streets. Well, we're going to need a global police state, right? A surveillance state that's going to keep us all safe. Well, that's what these lunatics of Davos have in mind. That's what Francis has in mind. That's what Biden, Team Biden, has in mind. That's why they're dismantling this country. And they've been talking about this at Davos constantly. Remember the surveillance under the skin freak?
People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
So that clown who wants to have surveillance under the skin, one of Klaus Schwab's top advisors. So it's no wonder that the smart people in the room now are looking at this finally. God, thank God. They're looking at what's going on finally. Now, I would not call Jordan Peterson, you know, exactly a Twilight Zone sort of conspiracy nut, would you? He's looking at the same thing we're looking at now, and Jordan Peterson is speaking out. Here's what he said just the other day.
Leave us alone, you centralizers of power, you worshipers of Gaia, you sacrificers of the wealth and property of others, you would-be planetary saviors, you Machiavellian pretenders and virtue signalers, objecting to power, all the while you gathered around you madly. Leave us alone.
Leave us alone. That's our rallying cry, isn't it? Leave us alone. You know? That's all we want. The most terrifying force of death, says the great Alexander Solzhenitsyn in the Gulag Archipelago, comes from the hands of men who wanted to be left alone. Pretty much sums it up. And you got to ask yourself the question, why are these global elites doing this to men and women who just want to be left alone? At the end of the day, what are they doing? When they're lying in bed at night with their wives, little Manny Macaroon, what does he say? What does he say is the reason that France now needs to suffer? He needs to come up with an artificial reason to make people suffer. What's the end game? You know, because the answer, obviously, is evil. That's what happened. We showed you that clip of Tucker Carlson a couple of weeks ago. That's what happened to him. You get to a certain point in all this. Once you get over with all the noise and crazy about it's just a conspiracy theory, it's right-wing and it's stupid and it's silly, none of it's true. Once you get past that nonsense, you're left with very few options. And your top option is that it's just straight-up evil.
Nobody will be safe if not everybody is vaccinated.
So let's open our eyes, friends, you know? Let's open our eyes to what's really going on here. I don't know how much time we have left if we don't, right? And thank God millions are opening their eyes. So let's join the millions who are opening their eyes. Our enemies, your enemies right now, for example, are not the Russians. Come on. The Cold War is over. Russia's not your problem. But I'll tell you what, I would not turn my back on Russia's enemies for one second, namely the World Economic Forum, the doofus that wants to do the surveillance on his skin guy, you know? Or the decadent Ukrainian oligarchs have been making war on their own people since 2014. Those guys, you know? Funded by the lunatics of Davos, funded by the American neocon elite like John McCain and Lindsey Graham. Donald Trump's not your enemy. Regardless of how many wives he's had or how many Effenheimers he dropped that scandalized you, he's actually not your enemy. His big crime, as far as they're concerned, was he was trying to make his country great again, and they won't tolerate that, which is why they're wrecking your country right now. Donald Trump's not your enemy. But don't turn your back on his enemies. Don't turn your back on the global cabal, the lockdown police over at the UN, who hate Donald Trump almost as much as they hate you. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, he's not your enemy. So he speaks out too much. He's disrespectful. When somebody finally spoke out, and you're worried that he does it in a mean way, he's mean. He seems uncharitable to me. He's not your enemy. But do not turn your back on his archenemy over there in the Vatican, the dude wearing the white. Don't turn your back on him. He wants to take you down. Now, does anyone in this audience seriously think that I come out here every week going after Pope Francis because I'm some sort of holy Joe who just likes Latin masses? Do you really think that's what it is? Do I look like someone who just hopped off a holy card to you? Honestly, think that's what it is? Friends, this is war. This is survival of our civilization, of our families, of our children. This is what's at stake. What hangs in the balance is the survival of your children if you don't wake up. Francis is your worst nightmare. A guy that wants to take down the whole world, and yet he has earned or he's found himself in a position, gotten himself into a position where it appears that he's speaking for God, that God speaks through Francis. And whatever he says about taking down the world, comes from the Holy Spirit. I can't think of a bigger nightmare than that. A megalomaniac globalist operative who millions of people think speaks for God. When in fact, he's the mortal enemy of us all. He's the mortal enemy of your children, as I'll prove in a moment. Let's just look at who Francis is partnering with right now. For heaven's sake, can we just be honest? Can we just pull the blinder off, the blindfolds off, and look at who this guy is partnering with? We showed this film to you in 2020, but now, again, it's so much more relevant than it was. Look at who he's partnering with.
È necessario urgente un sistema economico giusto, affidabile e in grado di rispondere alle sfide più radicali che l'umanità e il pianeta si trovano ad affrontare.
We are answering Pope Francis's challenge to create more inclusive economy.
Stop the tape, stop the tape. For those of you who maybe haven't been knocking around this globe as long as I have, you got to look at that person. That person is Lynn Rothschild. She's a close friend of Hillary Clinton. Does it ring any bells? She is an uber globalist operative. She is a partner of the lunatics of Davos. And think about that. There she is inside the Vatican, the Holy of Holies, over the bones of St. Peter, right? With Pope Francis, the vicar of Christ on earth, supposedly. And together, they are working with the world's most powerful corporate business leaders to bring on what they call inclusive capitalism, which of course is dripping with the marks of the beast. It is dripping with Barack Obama's notions of redistribution of wealth. You see? So they're going to take all your money and give it to somebody else. They're doing it right now. We're watching it happen. These young punks, you know, borrowing money, and then Biden gets to tell them they don't have to pay it back. Where's the morality in that? You don't have to pay it back. Just don't worry about it. You see, that's redistribution of wealth. That's you and I paying for these kids to get these completely ridiculous educations at completely ridiculous centers of higher learning. Redistribution of wealth, in other words. This whole thing dripping with Hitlerian eugenics on steroids, the steroids involving technology, Karl Marx's ideas of socialism and class warfare, nanny state politics, right? That's what they're working on right now. And here again is Lynn Rothschild explaining how it works.
So Lynn, how do you define inclusive capitalism?
Well, inclusive capitalism is simply a market-based economy that is sustainable, inclusive, dynamic, strong, and trusted.
And how does it differ from the capitalism that most people believe exists in America? What's the key distinction?
Well, sadly, 60% of Americans don't believe the system works for them. So by definition, that's not inclusive. So it is in everyone's interest to make sure that we're investing in and supporting companies that are doing the right thing for their people, for their communities, for the planet.
And if it sounds familiar, it should, because Lynn here is talking about, of course, Klaus Schwab's ESGs.
The ESG risk rating. A free, confidential rating tool that assesses your environmental, social, and governance risk. It distills the complexity of ESG into a single score, yet allows you to interrogate the detail. Leaders want to know where their organizations are excelling and areas requiring focus. We bring that focus in two ways. First, by leveraging the World Economic Forum's ESG metrics in a coherent framework.
So does your company, for example, support LGBTQRS rights? No? Well, then you're not going to have a good ESG score, and so no real money is coming your way. Is your company diverse enough? Is your company green enough? Are you committed to equity and inclusion? And our buddy Klaus Schwab is the father of the ESG, of course.
We all know we need to make the world more resilient, more inclusive, and more sustainable. So the stakeholder concept And particularly the ESGs are a very important part of getting business involved.
So why is this globalist chick playing a starring role inside the Vatican right now? Why is she doing that? It's because Francis gets his talking points from Klaus Schwab, as we've said, for a long time. And Francis was endorsing the same ESGs. He didn't call them ESGs, but he was endorsing the same thing, the very idea of punishing companies that are not green or LGBT friendly enough, making so that you can't donate money to them. He's been talking about this since 2020. Here he is. So, let's review, for those of you who are still in the pray and obey camp, let's just slowly think about this. You've got the godless and the Christophobic, you've got the socialists, the neo-communists, you got the globalists, the cabal, you got Klaus Schwab, you got Lynn Rothschild and her family, you got Hillary Clinton and her family, you have Bill Gates and his foundation, you have Pope Francis. They're all working together to reset the world with the children of darkness.
We invite all businesses, large and small, and individuals to join us as stewards for inclusive capitalism by going to our website, agreeing the principles, and making your own commitments to inclusive capitalism. Please join us. Thank you.
It couldn't be more official, friends. There's Lynn Rothschild, there's Pope Francis, standing strong together. And the Rothschilds, of course, as I say, for those of you who've been paying attention for a number of years, they are TNT. Social media, for example, will unleash an army of fact-checkers. Pull down your posts if you even suggest that Klaus Schwab is related to the Rothschild, which, of course, is an active conspiracy theory all over the internet right now. It is not true. No, they shout, Klaus is not a Rothschild. That's a conspiracy theory. You know what? I think it is. I've seen no link between Schwab and the Rothschild. At least I can't find one. But my point is, don't you dare try to associate him with a Rothschild. That's really dangerous. It's better, in fact, that the field marshal, that his dad was a Nazi, which he was, than that his mother was a Rothschild. So rife with conspiracy theory, fodder, and intrigue is the Rothschild family. You see what I'm saying? Yet there she is. There she is, Lynn Rothschild, boldly and in broad daylight, working alongside Pope Francis. When, that is, she's not stumping for one Hillary Clinton.
All right, the Hillary Clinton supporter, Lady Lynn Forster, the Rothschild. Even she sounds real, just saying her name. Finally, getting the lady that she wants to run for the White House, get another crack at it. Now, you supported her last go around, and Barack Obama came out of nowhere. That was then. You don't think it's going to happen now?
That was then. She's going to work for every vote this time, as she said.
How do you think she's doing thus far?
I think she's doing great.
Begins to make a little sense now, doesn't it? That this happened back in 2016.
And you certainly don't need to be Catholic to be inspired by the humility and heart of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, or to embrace his message.
Prince, do you begin to see what I'm talking about here? I mean, what's it going to take? What will it take to convince you? The Pope wants to build a global economy based on Rothschild, Schwab, and Clinton's vision of inclusive capitalism and a new world order. And you're telling me that it's our obligation as Catholics to pray for and obey this guy when he tells you to stop attending the Latin Mass, when he has a freak out over the Latin Mass and he's not trying to shut the Latin Mass down throughout the whole world. Well, we have to obey him. It's an argument that makes the Catholic Church look singularly ridiculous. And it's not going to stop. Next month, September 24th, the Pope, Francis, will visit Assisi for the annual Economy of Francesco. You know, you've seen pictures.
Vejo vocês em Assis, para juntos a gente poder construir pontes rumo a uma economia mais solidária e humana, respeitando as diferenças e promovendo o diálogo.
Nós vi aspettiamo qui ad Assisi.
Get me wrong, you can find dozens of videos about this thing online. Sachs introduced it a couple years ago. Francis is all excited. Regardless, nobody cares about this crazy crap. Nobody cares about the economy, Francesco. It's like the Synod on Synod Alley. Nobody actually cares. That video that I just showed you, in fact, went up 3 months ago, and so far it's picked up a whopping 172 views. Anybody who's on YouTube knows that's actually pretty difficult to do. Just your friends and their moms is usually going to be more than 172 views. Well, that's what it's got. And if you go to the official Economy Francesco YouTube channel, you'll see that they're all down there in the hundreds. Some of them are in the single digits. But that doesn't stop the delusional Pope Francis from looking to the most intentionally dumbed down generation in history, a generation which he has helped to dumb down. He's looking to them for guidance because he knows they have nothing to say. They've been given nothing, so they have nothing to give. And he says, enlightened ones, lead me, tell me things that I can help you and I can make the church relevant.
Oggi la nostra madre terra geme e ci avverte che siamo avvicinando a soglie pericolose. Voi siete forse l'ultima generazione che ci può salvare. Non esagero.
And you know, the thing is, what's so stupid about this, and I don't know what you think. I don't know if Francis is all that intelligent. I think he's just got the 1.5 languages, isn't really known as an intellect. Yeah, I don't think he's that smart. Because he seems to think that this nonsense, these slogans and whatnot that he's throwing out there, that they are somehow really woke, really cool, really hip, the world's actually going for it. Like they weren't done back in the 80s. And that's what I'm reminded of when I see him rolling out his stuff and his slogans. It reminds me of a really bad 80s comedy.
Well, I want to feed the children, house the homeless, save the rainforest.
It's so silly, in other words. It's so stupid. Rock and roll. Well, that's 95 views on that particular Economy Francesco official YouTube channel. 95 views. Could these people possibly be any more delusional? These are the people Francis is consulting on how to move the church forward, eat bugs and listen to plants. You know, they used to lock people like this up in asylums so they wouldn't hurt themselves. And now they're running the Vatican. Friends, this is a joke. This is a massive joke. This is the intentional destruction of our societies, of our religions, of our church. You know, we got to face that. It's not, the sooner we face it, the sooner we admit the magnitude of the problem, the easier these clowns are going to be to block their progress, undermine their efforts. We gotta wake up. We gotta stop playing let's pretend. And we gotta get the message out. We're not the aggressors here. You understand that, right? All we're trying to do is live our lives with our kids and our families in peace. We're not asking for anything. We're not on offense. We just wanna live our lives, right? That's what you want, that's what I want. We say to the church, the church of accompaniment, we don't want your synodality. What part of we don't want your synodality don't you understand? We don't want your stupid listening church because it all seems like BS to us. We seriously, honestly, do not give a rat's lower spinal extremity about your discernment sessions.
In the coming weeks, we will hold several synod discernment sessions.
And to the folks in power, we don't want your reset. We're not sure what you're talking about. It just looks pretty scary. We'd prefer if you'd butt out of our lives. Is that okay? Just leave us alone. We don't want computer parts in our brain. Thank you very much. I'm fine. I don't care if I'm left behind. You take your progress and just go over the cliff with the rest of the lemmings. I'll be the moron back on solid ground with just my brain inside my head. That's fine. I don't need your computer. I don't need your robots. I don't need your AI. I don't need any of it. We just want to be left alone. And we want to avoid what Alexander Solzhenitsyn was talking about in that quote that I shared with you earlier, the first part of it earlier in the show tonight, where Solzhenitsyn says, the moment the men who wanted to be left alone are forced to fight back, it is a form of suicide. They are literally killing off who they used to be, which is why when forced to take up violence, these men who wanted to be left alone fight with unholy vengeance against those who murdered their former lives. They fight with raw hate and a drive that cannot be fathomed by those who are merely play-acting at politics and terror. True terror will arrive at these people's door, and they will cry, scream, and beg for mercy. But it will fall upon the deaf ears of the men who just wanted to be left alone. It's Alexander Solzhenitsyn. They're pushing us to that point. But we cannot let it come to that point, dear friends. This is why we say again and again and again, stand up, speak out, and resist right now, while there's still peaceful means of doing so at our disposal. Because you know what's going to happen. They are not going to take our children. They are not going to take our minds. They are not going to take our souls. They are not going to take our church. They are not going to take our mass. We will fight back one way or the other. So Francis, Klaus Schwab, it's up to you guys now. You can either leave us the hell alone and all will be forgiven, or you can push us. And in the end, you can face the terror of Christian men who were pushed too far, men who only wanted to be left alone. I pray it doesn't come to that. And you should too.